Om Shanti. In the street of China, suddenly there appeared a young lady, and she was extremely attractive. From where she has come and why she has come, nobody knew. Everybody was awestruck. Everybody was surprised by her appearance. Nobody had seen her before. Hundreds of youths came and they all said that we want to marry you. She said, I have one criteria. You have to study and learn by heart the Lotus Sutras of Buddha. If you can do that, then I'll think. So each one of those youths, they go, they have just 24 hours to study, to learn by heart, but all of them go. Whole night they stay awake, and next morning 300 youths come, and all of them have recited, have learned by heart, and they recited the Golden Sutras. But the lady said, you are 300, I am one. How can I marry all of you? So then she said, if anyone can explain the Lotus Sutras, I'll marry that person. So the next morning, only 10 people come. Now these 10 have not only studied but also learned by heart all the Lotus Sutras. Lotus Sutras are the core teachings of Buddha. But she says, you are 10, I am 1. How can I marry all of you? So, I'll marry only that person who has experienced those sutras. So then, all the 10 go back. And the next morning, only one person comes. So now he is the one who has studied the sutras. He has recited them. He can explain them. And also, he has experienced those sutras. So the lady says, okay, I'm going to marry you. So she takes that man out of that city. And there is a beautiful house outside the city. The man was staying in that city for a long time, but he had never seen such a beautiful house. And outside the house, her parents are standing. So the lady introduces her would-be husband to her parents. And after introducing, she just goes inside the house. After talking for some time with the parents, the man is now standing there. And the parents, her parents say to her, him, go inside, she is waiting for you. He goes inside the house, but there is nobody there. The house is empty. But there is a door which is open on the other side. So he thinks, probably she has left from that door. So he goes out, and there is a garden. And he keeps walking. He can see the footsteps of that lady. And he goes, keeps walking and walking and walking and walking. He is not understanding where that lady has gone. Only the footsteps. And then he reaches a river. And the footwears are kept there. He is awestruck. He stands by the side of the river. After that, there is no path. Only the footwear. He looks behind. There is no house. There is no garden. There are no parents. He looks in front. There is no river. And there are no footwear. The sandals have disappeared. And he closes the eyes, his eyes. He opens the eyes and he laughs. The marriage is finished. The story ends here. It's a very deep. The lady is the master. And there are three stages. The first stage, to read. The second stage, to understand. The third stage, to experience. Many came, but out of them, only there was one person who experienced. And the lady is the master. She took that man along with her. And then that man followed that lady. She kept walking and walking and walking and walking. And she reached a point where the man reached the point where the lady reached. And when the man looks back, there is nothing. Everything has disappeared. There are no parents. There is no house. There is no garden. And now even the lady has disappeared. Even the river has disappeared. Everything has disappeared. This stage is called the soul is united with the ultimate. In that ultimate state of consciousness, everything disappears. There are no parents, there is no house, there is no garden, there is no river, there is nothing. This is a Buddhistic story. And the man laughs from his belly. It is called as belly laughter. He laughs because he is married to the nothingness. The lady took that man to that stage of nothingness step by step, not suddenly. So also, when God comes on this planet, He guides us towards perfection slowly, slowly. And as we march ahead, all the old attachments, they drop. Nothing remains. It's a journey from lesser light to higher light. It's a journey from lower consciousness to higher consciousness. It's a journey to rediscover oneself. We forget. I am just an actor here. And whatever I am doing here is just the roles. But this is not me. I am the being of light. I am the being of bliss. I am the being of happiness. And when I forget that original identity, and I take upon myself this fake identity, where there are relationships, jobs, positions, so many things, and I am trapped. I just forget why I am here. What is the purpose? So it's a journey that starts with reading, understanding, experiencing, and once you experience, gradually you move towards higher consciousness, where each day you drop off the old attachments. If you carry less weight, you can fly. If the mind is filled with garbage, luggage, how can you fly? What is the criteria for flying? Lightness. No chains, no prison, no cage. And the most important, desire to fly. Desire to explore. The life in the prison, the life in the cage, is very safe. You don't have to bother about food, about security. But sky is insecure. Sky is full of threats. You don't know when you are going to get your food. The bird is not aware of that. But bird is not meant to live in cage. It is designed to fly, and flying entails new challenges every time, new threats, new dangers. But yes, there is a strong will inside that I am born to fly. Let me fly, let me try, let me go ahead. I am born for that. How long I am going to continue? The same vices, the same old habits, the same old patterns, the same old conditionings, the same play of jealousy, ego, envy, same trap. So when there is a desire, the efforts become natural. For a Brahmin soul, effort is the divine rest. When you get tired in the Brahmin life, what you should do? Intense efforts. Meditation is the state of divine rest. So in today's world, when everybody is running here and there, it's a cat race. How to keep ourselves stable? At the same time, how can we put our efforts into that fast track? What is that which is needed? So that we become an intense effort maker. We become someone when he sleeps at night, there is a deep satisfaction within that today I have lived my day the way I wanted. No repentance, no sorrow, no trace of unhappiness, nothing. I sleep with deep satisfaction that I have not wasted a single minute of this day. I did what I wanted to do. Such state is such a beautiful state. Everybody wants it. And we remain eternally connected with the Divine, the Highest. We remain eternally in that state of higher consciousness. The moment you come down, difficulty starts, disturbance starts. But when you stay continuously at a higher level, you fly. So today we will see few things about fast track efforts. What is that final push for the fast track efforts? So we are going to discuss about 7 things today. And all these things I am telling you because I myself do them every day. And I will speak less from books but more from experience. If you want to become an intense effort maker, the very first thing which you should master is Amrit Vela. So the first thing is very powerful Amrit Vela. You know, if you can do those 3 hours of meditation whole day, you don't have to do much. But if your Amrit Vela is missing or it's less powerful, sometimes you are doing, sometimes you are not doing, it is inconsistent, then no matter what you do throughout the day, how many classes you attend or you give classes, conduct workshop, anything, no matter how much service you do, you will not scale that height. This 3 hours from 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. is the most important time, is the most productive time. It is an ambrosial time. It's a time when you drink nectar of awareness. Throughout the day, no matter how much you try, it's very difficult to become bodiless. If you cannot become bodiless in the morning, don't think of achieving that stage of bodilessness throughout the day. So now, this is an uphill task. We have been doing Amrit Vela, but what is the quality of that Amrit Vela meditation? How intense it is, how aware we are, how alert we are, how attentive we are. What time you go to sleep, how you go to sleep, what is the stage when your stage when you go to sleep, with that same stage you will get up in the morning. And if you want to change any one of your habits, if you want to correct your relationships, if you want to repair those broken relationships, the most important time is that morning 2 to 5. When you sit with that alertness, and it is not that you just do and talk with Baba. There are multiple things you can do. You can read, you can move around, you can churn something, you can write something, you can watch something. Then you have enough time. But if you are already getting up at 4 o'clock, you are hardly 1 hour or even less than that, what you are going to do in that? So you have to increase your meditation time. At least 3 hours sitting yoga. Not a single minute less than that. If it is more, it's all the good. But not less than that. And it all happens with habit. It all happens with practice and with repetition. If you keep on repeating something, maybe first day it would feel your head is heavy because you are not accustomed to get up so early. But when it becomes a natural thing, you see new thoughts will come, new touchings, new inspirations, some new plans will descend upon you. This is the time when there is total silence. This is the time when the air is so fresh. This is the time when the pranic field is at its highest. This is the time when the divine wisdom is in the air. Knowledge, in fact, is just vibrations. Knowledge is not words. Knowledge is not sentences. Knowledge is not books. Knowledge is not speeches. Knowledge is not about classes. Knowledge and understanding and realizations come to you in the form of vibrations. So it's a morning time when you become very subtle and you start catching all those divine vibrations. You start downloading those divine frequencies from the universe, from the library of universe. So, just check. If you want to become an intense effort maker, I don't think of anything else other than this. The first out of the 7 things which we are going to discuss today, the most important thing is morning meditation. Let it be at least 3 hours. So for that you will have to get to bed quite early. You cannot think of going to bed at 11 o'clock and then to get up at 2 o'clock. It's difficult. And if you want to go to sleep early, you will have to make lot many adjustments in your lifestyle. It's not going to come hands down, gradually. And now you are in Madhavan, so you can create this wonderful thought that I want to master this Amrit Vela. And if you want to master some art, it's a skill. You have to know more about it. Just as a medical student or engineering student or any student, art student, if he wants to master painting, what he has to do? He has to spend more time. He has to know more about it. He has to study books. So also, in our institution, there is a beautiful book on Amrit Vela. Have you read that book? It's available in Hindi, but also in the English form. So every day read something about Amrit Vela. Amrit Vela. The name of the book is Amrit Vela. You can get it in from the literature department. Just read few things, few lines. Everything that could be said about Amrit Vela is written in that book. It's in fact a compilation of Bab Dada's teaching, sayings, Srimad. And my personal experience is that we'll just have 1 minute of meditation. So, the most important thing in this Brahmin life is to have that experience of bodilessness. The more you remain detached from the body, the more powerful you become. The power lies in that stage of detachment. If you miss that early morning detachment, the whole day something or other will pull you, distract you, disturb you. So that is the first thing. So if you are getting up at 4 o'clock, go back 15 minutes. If you are getting up at 3:30, go back 15 minutes. Like this. Gradually increase the time and make it more and more productive. You need not to sit at one place, you can move around. Sometimes you can read, sometimes you can write. You know, our time is divided into two parts, productive time and non-productive time. You might have 3 hours in the evening, but then you sometimes don't feel yourself focused. While everybody's productive time is different. There are others who find morning hours very productive. And that's with majority of us. So, just make this new planning. How can I reach 3 hours of morning meditation? So that those 3 hours become the foundation for the remaining 21 hours. That is first. Second is B. B is bhojan, that is food. The lighter it is, the mind becomes, the meditation becomes more and more steadier and stable. If your energy is going only in the digestion of that food, then less energy is available for higher works. So try to make it as lighter as possible. So long as the body is engaged only in the process of digestion, meditation is difficult. You need a very light body. You need a very light food, so that it is not a burden on the body. So keep experimenting on that and see what happens when you take cooked, when you take grains, cereals, what happens when you survive on fruits, on raw, on juices. See what happens. You do your own experiments and come to your own conclusions. You don't have to follow anybody. Just do it and see the level of your Amrit Vela. When you have full stomach, what happens? And when the stomach is empty, what happens? See emotional impact, physical impact. Everything is in fact food. Food, what you eat, you become. Rather than that, mind is food, food is mind. Food becomes mind. If it is intense, if it is spicy, and if it is too much salty, and if it is too much processed, your thought qualities, they come down. It drags the consciousness down. And the lighter it is, automatically you move up. Meditation becomes effortless. Automatically. So the second important thing is this. Do small experiments on yourself. See what happens. Study the lives of those people who are living such lives. There are hundreds and thousands of people in this world who have reversed their diseases, even cancers, with their food. You can get evidences on the net, in the books. But most of the researches like this are hidden, because science doesn't want that. The greatest industries in this world today are two. food industry and drug industries. Science is sponsored and truth is censored. If you speak the truth, people don't like. What will happen to their industry? What will happen to all those marketing myths? This is needed, eat that, this is necessary, that is necessary. And they will fear you, make you afraid. We are living a life which is conditioned. Rather than learning new things, now it is a time to unlearn, now it is a time for unschooling. And do your own experiments and find out what is the truth. Let me experiment myself. And you will realize how healthy you become, how clean you become from inside. There is only one disease in this world. There are no diabetes, there is no hypertension, there is no heart issues. There is only one disease, and that is toxemia. The body is full of accumulated toxins from the food that we have eaten. The moment we become clean from inside, first of all diseases disappear. Second, the mind becomes very still. And in meditation, the state of bodilessness is achieved very easily. So the second point is food. The third point is C. C means celibacy. Now celibacy doesn't mean just brahmacharya. It's a state of purity. Impurity means desire that pulls you down. Purity is the divine desire that takes you up. It is in fact the play of energy. It is the same energy that is going down, now it's going up. So when you remain in that elevated state of consciousness, when you know that I am a very pure soul, nothing binds me, nothing attracts me, the pull of body has no more any hold over me. Purity is a journey. In this journey, you realize, you understand new aspects of purity. The new layers of purity, the new patterns of purity. Emotional purification. How each and every emotion becomes more and more purer. And you don't have to struggle. If there is so much struggle involved, or there is a suppression or repression of the desires, that's not purity. Purity is transcendence. You just go above. You realize the worthlessness of all the worldly pleasures, the physical attractions, the physicality, the sensuality. You don't feel like to enter into that quagmire, into that mud again. Now you have got something new, something higher. Just as every time the example is given, a small child, if he is given a bigger sweet and a small sweet, which he will take? Bigger one. So when you get higher joy, the lower joys don't attract you. It's actually the dopamine trap. You know, whenever a sense object comes in contact with senses, this is the sense object, and these are our senses, the five senses. The sense objects, they strike on the senses, like some beautiful, melodious sound. And you want to listen that sound again and again, listen to that sound. Or you eat something and you like that, now you want it again and again. You touch something and you like that touch and you want it again and again. So the sense objects, they touch the senses and then a sensation is created. Now this sensation can be of two types, pleasant and unpleasant. If it is a pleasant, we love it, we want it. If it is unpleasant, we want to avoid it. So it's a play of these two things. When you realize that every sensation which is getting produced is just transitory, it's not temporary, it's not permanent, and I do not get involved in it, I stay detached. To remain equanimous is the greatest definition of purity. Purity means equanimity. You remain stable no matter what sensations are pulling you down. So the third thing is work on your purity, work on your pledge of celibacy, work on your state of highest consciousness, self-respect, and let that get reflected everywhere. And for that, keep practicing something or other. Small exercises. Keep writing something every day. You know, writing is a very good art. Writing is meditation. Take one line from the Murli and write it 10 times. Just one line and see. And write it in a very, very beautiful way. It becomes meditation. Or take a Murli and just read it aloud. That again is a meditation. You have to devise new techniques, new methods, or create some play. One small play we will do right now. When I will say, gross world, you have to clap. Okay? This earth. When I will say, subtle world, you have to do like this. And when I say Supreme Abode, Param Dham, you have to do like this. Are you ready? Gross world. Subtle world. All of you. Supreme Abode. Gross world. Gross world. Subtle world. Supreme Abode. Supreme Abode. Subtle world. Gross world, subtle world, Paramdham, Paramdham, gross world, Paramdham, gross world, Paramdham, gross world, Paramdham, Paramdham, subtle world. So there are some human beings in the subtle world. So yoga should become a plaything. So also, Murli should become sport. Murli should become a game. And we are Murli athletes. Who are we? Murli athletes. Murli champions. So the first thing is Amrit Vela. The second thing is Bhojan, that is food. And the third thing is celibacy. Fourth thing is detached observership. Try to look at this world as a detached observer multiple times in the day. You are extremely busy and suddenly just close the eyes for a moment and see, oh, this is a play which is going on. This is a drama. These are all the actors. It's an entertainment. Some television serial is going on. Some episode is going on. This is some side scene which is on. This is some telecast, a documentary, a movie, a film. This is some puppet show. This is a game on the ground. This is a sport. This is a tournament. This is an entertainment, a recreation, a script. This is going on. These are all the actors. Actually, they are just playing their part. In this actor, you know these five fingers, are they same? No, each one is different. So why you expect that all actors should be like you? Good, nice, virtuous. It will never happen. Every actor has his own part. You must have seen the play of Ramayana. There is Ram, there is Sita, there is Ravan, there is Lakshman. You have seen that? You know the story, no? Of Ramayana. Lakshman is extremely angry at Ravan. Why is he laughing so loudly? He is not happy at all. Ram is shedding tears. Where is my Sita? Sita is unhappy in that Shok Vatika. Oh, when Ram will come to rescue me. And Ravana is laughing loudly, boisterously. But suddenly, when you are watching this on the drama, all the actors, Ram, Ravan, Sita, they are drinking tea behind the screen. They are enjoying a cup of tea. They are just actors who are playing that part. You know, you watch some horror movie, you get afraid. Or some very emotional movie, people start crying. They have to tell, you have to tell the children, don't cry, that is a movie. The actress is going away from that hero. So unhappy scene. But this is also a drama. Just as clouds come, clouds go away. You just stand and on the road, vehicles are coming, vehicles are going. So I am the watcher. I am the spectator. I am the witness. This witness consciousness will keep you safe from getting hurt every time. Know that everything is a drama which is going on. These are all the different actors. They are all the beings of bliss. No, you can't do anything. Why this thumb is small? Why this is big? That is a beauty. It's beauty of this drama. This drama is very, very... It has a lot of secrets. Why this person is doing like this? Why this person is doing like this? That's why Baba says, if you keep on asking why, it will create only confusion. Nothing else. You just enjoy. You are in the train, and the train is moving. There are different scenes. Some children are playing. You enjoy. The farmer is tilling in this soil. You enjoy. And two women are fighting with each other, holding their hair. And a husband is beating his wife. What you do? You pull the chain and go to rescue that lady? No. It's a game which is going on. So also this life is a big game. You enjoy the drama. There are two dramas, but do you know the other drama? One is the bigger drama, the world drama, and second is the drama of my life. The first drama is predestined, the bigger one. The second drama, I am the creator of that second drama. I am the master of that second drama. The second drama, I create every moment. You wake up in the morning now, it's in your hand, whether to continue sleeping till 5 a.m. or get up and sit in Baba's room and do meditation. Now you are the creator of this drama. You decide the drama. Ultimately, drama is a most misused word in this Brahmin family. Drama is only for that which has happened in the past. Remember that. You cannot say everywhere drama. Why you didn't come for Amrit Vela? Drama. Why you eating so much as per the drama plan? In my OPD, one Kumar came and he said, I have lost weight. And today morning when I was sitting in meditation in Baba's hut in Madhuvan, Baba said, for next 3 days, child, you have to eat a lot. So he said, I got this touching from Baba. Is it okay? I said, follow whatever touchings you got. So, enjoy the play. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the sports. Sometimes we get defeated, sometimes we win. Every time we fall down, rise up again. Every defeat is victory in disguise. Begin next day again with all your enthusiasm and fervor. So the fourth thing is practicing detached observership, sakshi. Fifth is exercise. Fifth, E, A, B, C, D, E. E is exercise. But there are three types of exercises which you have to do. First is physical. If you do physical exercise, your body remains active. Your body remains energetic, powerful. If the body is sick, it's very difficult. You can't do anything. Spirituality is a failure without good health. If your body is not keeping well, very difficult to observe Srimat, very difficult to observe Maryadas, very difficult to observe different directions of Brahmin life. Yoga becomes a burden. But when your body is light, your body is energetic, you enjoy everything. So the first thing is physical exercise. Keep doing some or other exercise. If you can't do, just go for walking or yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong. Anything, whatever you like. Do little breathing exercises, deep breaths, all those things. They keep you fit. If you can go to gym, join gym. Anything, whatever sports you like. Play some sports. Walking is one of the best things. Just go for walk, long walk. 1 kilometer, 2 kilometer, 5 kilometers. All alone. Don't chat. In silence. Enjoying nature. The first exercise is physical. The second is mental exercises. Give some work to the mind. What is the work? Give some things to memorize. Read the slogan or the blessing of the Murli. Keep it aside and try to recall what it was. What it was. Go to subtle world and think of what all relationships I can form with Baba. Go to the Supreme Abode and think of all the names of the Supreme Abode you know of. Or here only, in Gyan Sarovar, when you sit, think of different places which are there in Gyan Sarovar. Just the names of the buildings. If you try to recall, that becomes a yoga. So memorization. Give some teasers, memory training, some teasers, some learning material, or learn new language. Every day 5 new words. If you are not understanding English, learn 5 new words from English. Sentence construction, sentence formation. Learning language opens the key to the literature of that language. Learn Hindi. You see what happens. Because mind doesn't want to learn anything new. It has so many excuses. But give it a task. 5 new words every day. And then see what happens. So learning, that's a mental exercise. That is the second. And the third exercise is spiritual exercise. Becoming bodiless in 1 second. Sending vibrations. In 1 second reaching subtle world. In 1 second reaching the sweet home. In 1 second touring the paradise. In 1 second sitting here and sending good vibes to somebody who is sitting far away. So these are mental, spiritual exercises. So physical drill, mental drill and physical drill and spiritual drill. All the 3 drills. First will make the body strong. The second will make the mind strong. And the third will make the soul strong. Keep doing all the 3 things together. And the most important, as I said, the body should remain healthy. If you are falling sick again and again, if you have pains here and there, very difficult to do things. And I, every day, I see almost about 80 to 90 or sometimes 100 patients in OPD. 50% of them are BKs. Sisters, brothers, all of them. And they have so many issues. They find it very difficult to continue this Brahmin life because of the problems they are having. Huge list of diseases. And most of the diseases are self-created. We are digging our grave with our forks and knives and our teeth every day by wrong eating, The more you go close to nature, the body becomes healthy automatically. Body is a self-healing machine. Automatically all diseases go away. The more you go towards nature and natural things. So, exercise. Next is F. F is follow father. Follow father doesn't mean some blind imitation. It means to become in alignment. And actually, I will say, follow father is the result rather than an effort. Once you are connected with Baba all the time, automatically your steps would get aligned with that divine. You don't have to do anything. You will do everything which is Srimad. You will speak only those things which should be spoken. Automatically only those thoughts will come to you which are in alignment with that highest. So follow father is a very deep, deep mental, emotional, psychological stage where you feel fulfillment at every step of your life. You do something, you feel happy. There is no desire for any advertisement. There is no desire for any marketing. Rather, spiritual life is a silent life. You don't want to make any show off. You lead your life and you are happy. Moving slowly, silently. You don't want any certificate from anybody. You don't want any validation from anybody. You nor you have a desire to clarify yourself. Our most of the time goes in justifications. Why you did this? So I have a ready-made answer. Oh, because of this I did. Now desire for praise is gone, so the fear of insult also goes away. I move. If somebody is criticizing, let them criticize. If somebody is praising, let them praise. Neither praise nor criticism touch me. I move at my own pace. The spiritual pilgrim. I walk slowly, slowly, slowly. Enjoying this drama. Whatever that is happening in this yajna, whatever that is happening outside the yajna. Everything is play. New actors are coming on the stage. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the drama. Last G. Give. The last point of intense effort making is giving. Give knowledge. Give yoga. Give remembrance. Give courage. Give inspiration. You become richer by giving. A candle doesn't lose its anything if it lights another candle, does it? No. So wherever you are used by God, just surrender yourself. Let us, each one of us, become a divine channel, an instrument, a divine tool in His hand. Let Him use us for His divine service. You know, in Europe, there's one country, there was a statue of Jesus Christ. So some people came and they attacked that statue. And the whole city was destroyed and that statue, both hands got broken. After the war, people came, the Christians. They said, what to do with this statue now? Some people suggested, okay, let us repair it again. We will attach the hands, Jesus Christ's hand again. But some people said, no, that's damage. It will not look good. What to do? What to do? They kept on thinking. And at last, one person came with an idea. That we'll keep the Jesus Christ as He is. Without hands. That statue lost the hands. And below, they wrote one statement. You are my hands. You are my hands. What God says, you are my right hands. So we are the instruments. So when we live in that consciousness of being an instrument, automatically things happen. We don't have to do anything. If I think I have to do it, then there is a stress, there is a burden. I just float. I just move. I don't think how to do this, how to do that, what I have to speak, what I have to do. In Bible there is one statement, when Jesus Christ tells his disciples, go and spread my message across the world. They say, oh, we don't know anything, Master. We don't know how to read. We don't know how to speak. We are not speakers. He says, go and stand. It shall be given unto you at that hour what to speak. So when you become the divine channel, automatically things happen. You don't have to do anything. So these are the seven things. We'll revise again. The first, Amrit Vela. Try to make it at least 3 hours. Difficult task. Difficult? Difficult? Impossible. Baba doesn't like these words at all. Baba says difficult word, impossible word. These are not in Brahmin dictionary. Throw them aside. Gradually do it. Gradually. Slowly, slowly. You don't run a marathon in one day, do you? No. First day, okay, just 0.5 kilometer. Next day, 1 kilometer. And then for 1 week, you do only 1 kilometer. And then 5 kilometers. 5K. Then 10K. Then 15K. And then 21. There's one brother here in Gyansarovar. He runs almost 21 kilometers two or three times a week. Wherever he gets time, he starts running. He enjoys it now. And he will run for 21 kilometers and then he's okay, no pain in the knees. It has become so natural for him. So, in the similar manner, Amrit Vela is also a marathon. You have to make it very strong. Because this is my experience, throughout the day you don't get time. There are so many things, so much service expansions and so many other things. The moment you sit in the morning, I remember even only today only, I was sitting at Shanti Stambh in Pandabhavan from 2:30 till 3:30, 1 hour. It was so powerful, extremely powerful experience. After that I went and I sat in the meditation hall for another 1 hour. I was feeling addicted not to come out. It's a nectar you are drinking of bodilessness, as if you are deeply connected with that point of light. So first, Amrit Vela. Second, Bhojan. Bhojan, you know? Yeah, it means food. Everybody knows that. You can forget other points, but you will not forget this point. It's a very important point. It is said that you can change man's religion, but not his diet. You can become BK, but diet change is most difficult thing. Because it is deep in the subconscious. You want rice. Till that time, you don't feel. If you eat fruit, oh, emptiness. No fulfillment. No happiness. Some people even cry. Have we come to Madhuvan to eat this? There's so much delicious food. This is Baba's. Let me eat with joy. That's good, you eat. But when you go to your place, do these experiments. And see the effect of lighter food on your mind, your body. What happens? So second is bhojan. Third is celibacy, that is purity. Increase the level of purity every day. Read more and more about it. Understand more, and you understand purity only in the stages of meditation, not by reading about it. The deeper stages of meditation gives you deeper level of purity. The next is detached observership. Watch this game. Right now here when you are sitting, Just observe. Okay, I am sitting here and this is a play. These are the drama actors. They are playing their parts. That's it. If I call somebody, oh, my brother, my sister, my friend, I am trapped. Let me walk peacefully in this drama. Let no person becomes an obstacle in my path. It's a journey of the alone to the alone. Now my walk is alone, solo path. I cannot make anybody my partner in this spiritual journey. They can move with me, but I know I am alone. And this stage of solitude only takes you to the highest. The break off all the shackles. The next is E. E means exercise, all the three exercises. Physical exercise, mental exercise, and spiritual exercise. Keep doing some or other spiritual drills. Next, F, follow the Father. Let that come as a result. Deep study of Murli. As I said, Murli is game. Murli is a sport. And you have to become Murli athletes. Murli champions. So read. Enjoy. Recite. Learn by heart few lines. Write. Discuss. Churn. Think. Draw diagrams. Flow charts. Mind maps. Boxes, color, things like that, something or other. The next is give. This life is very transitory, you know. Very transitory. We never know what is going to happen the next moment. Everything is transitory. I had one patient few days back. He came for general checkup. In the morning he came and I asked, do you have any problem? He said, no, I just want to do all my checkup. So we did all his checkups, all 2D echo, everything was done. And evening he met, any problem? I said, all reports are normal. Do you have any problem? He said, nothing. I am absolutely all right. Somebody advised me, that's why I came. On that same night, the same person suffered a heart attack and he was brought dead. When he was in the casualty, he already died at his place. It is so unpredictable. We never know what's going to happen. So it's best, keep giving. Give knowledge. If you have extra something, give to others. Rather than, it is not the grabbing, it is the giving that makes you richer. So give. Give love. Give respect. Give hospitality. Give help. Everything, whatever you can give, give to others. So these are the seven pillars of becoming a very intense effort maker. In a very short time. All these 7 points start to do from tomorrow and then see the result. Just do for 3 days and then see. Get rid of all the heavier food. Go for a lighter food. Try to get up, sleep by 9 o'clock so that you get up by 1:30 or 1:45. And you sit in meditation. There are different places. Here, half an hour. Different place, half an hour. Keep doing like this. And see what happens. Doing exercise, vibrations, keep giving, sakash, help, cooperation, whatever you can, and see the magic. Okay? Om Shanti.